This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, Grant and Dave. How are you on a day you should be celebrating with a chocolate lava cake day?
Hello, Grant and Dave. How are you on a day you didn't expect Robert Griffin to drop a tweet storm about his time with the Redskins 6 years ago, Dave?
Why is Robert still tweeting over there, Dave?
Day.
DJ Durkin, head coach, Maryland football at 1, Charlie Slows at 12:45, and we got a big announcement, an event you might want to take part in with
huge,
us.
Huge, bigly.
At 12:45, make sure you're listening at that time. As we welcome you back on 106.7 The Fan, we are ready to kick off the Beltway Blitz. Craig Hoffman covers the Redskins. Craig, what was your reaction to the team telling Sua Cravens, no thank you, a day before he was supposed to have showed back up at the complex?
That I don't think it was the day before he was going to show back up at the complex. I was very surprised at that report. Mike Jones has a couple of sources in his story that say it's not true, that he wasn't never showing up. And I tend to believe Mike on that because that is much more in line with the kinds of things I was hearing. Nothing that I had solid enough to report, but much more along those lines. And so I think with him being back in the headlines to kind of cut the cord now makes sense. Maybe there was some kind of conversation between he and Doug Saturday night, or I don't really know what the timing. That's a question we'll have to ask what the reasoning is. But I don't think he was coming back, and I think they knew it, so they decided to move on.
All right, so they ran the heck out of the ball this weekend. I like it because they did things that were effective. I don't think they can do that again, but for whatever reason, they seem to be able to run it against St. Louis, now Los Angeles, Craig. Do you see any of that as sustainable going forward, or was this kind of a one-off where they were able to do something against a good defensive front?
No, I think it's sustainable, and I think it was smart. I mean, what Jay said after the game really was interesting, that they went with this strategy because they had a pass rush in Los Angeles. I almost called them St. Louis again. In Los Angeles, that is really talented, but undersized. And the quickness element, you fight with strength and power, and that is much more where this offensive line succeeds. So I actually think it might not be a too bad of a strategy against Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin this weekend. You know, you want to slow down their pass rush, let the offensive line fire off and go hit them, and don't let them rush the passer. Just run the ball, control the clock, trying to limit the time that the very, very, very potent Raiders offense is on the field. I think this is a good strategy for this team right now, especially until Kirk really finds his rhythm with the passing game, because that has obviously been the disappointing part this year because it's been rather lackluster.
Craig, I'm now on an island all by myself. I'm screaming at a beach ball. I've got long bearded hair. I got no razor. I'm still in on Josh Doctson. I'm not giving up, even if Jay Gruden seemingly has. Do you think that the tide turns soon, or is it going to take a while?
Wait, you're on the island too?
Yeah. Oh, are you somewhere
more
around here?
Yeah.
I'll come find
you. On the other side. All right, we'll have to wander around and see if we could bump into each other.
I thought I saw some smoke the other night, but I didn't know if it was a human or what it was.
There's a polar bear on the island for some reason?
Yeah, I was cooking something. No, I just think Doctson's talent is so overwhelming that he's going to at some point break out. And I don't know whether it'll be consistent, especially this year, or whether he's going to have to grow into a better receiver over time. And kind of like what Santana did in his career. I'm not mad at myself. The Junkies asked me this morning, is there a guy who was basically non-existent his first couple of years, turned out to be really good at the receiver position? The answer is on our radio station, Santana, when he was with the Jets. And he talked about it last week with Chad. And so it may take some time, but he is still really, really talented. And he played this week. He played 9 more snaps this week. It's just the shots that were called for him were well covered, and he was in there in a lot of the heavier personnel where they were running the ball. And there wasn't a lot of passes to go around, period, this week because they ran the ball so much. So I think if you're a fantasy player, I wouldn't start Josh Doctson because I don't know when the breakout's going to come. But I would think it would come eventually because I think he's just too overwhelmingly talented for it not to.
Craig, always appreciate the time, my friend. We'll talk soon.
You got it. See you, boys.
There he goes. Let's talk Nationals, Tommy. Our pal Chelsea James of the Washington Post covers these very Washington Nationals. Chelsea, 9-game road trip here, the last road trip before the season ends. Team's got 90 wins. Their position is all but kind of set in the playoffs. How are we handling this road trip here? Is it time to ramp it up, or there's some more rest in between for some of the vets?
I think you'll still see some rest. You know,
I think that obviously there's some guys they have to get going, but by and large, I would expect it to be handled pretty much the way they've handled it all. Give them a lot of rest and maybe try to ramp it up when they get home for that last series or a little bit before. But then obviously you run into that 4-day layoff. So it's like, is there even a point to ramping it up at all since you're going to have to sit? So I think it's going to be kind of interesting to see how he manages it. But I don't know that there's any good way to do that.
Chelsea, I loved your feature on a Nats first-round pick who is troubled. And this is the opposite of what they typically do in the draft, but I love the selection. Tell people about what you wrote.
How they decided to take Seth Romero, who's a first-rounder this year, was going to be a top-10 kind of pick, got kicked off his college team for a variety of different things. And basically the Nats saw him as someone who was going to fall to them, and they decided to kind of take a risk. And usually they don't do that in the first round. You know, they're pretty good at kind of taking sure things. So from what I found and what everyone said and what I saw, I mean, they're not treating him any different, which I find, you know, pretty interesting given that they're really kind of all about keeping the noses clean. And it'll be really interesting. I think he's an elite talent, and they just got to kind of keep him on the right track, and they might have kind of found something there.
Chelsea, quickly, Bryce Harper update. We've seen yogging. It's a very soft J, but it's in the outfield. And swinging the baseball bat and hitting baseballs with it. I was jubilant. I watched it a million times. What do we know?
Well, one of the Nats minor leaguers actually tweeted something about facing Bryce in a sim game today. So I don't know if that's actually something that's going to happen. But if it is, and I wouldn't be surprised, if they've kind of shipped him out to get some at-bats, that's obviously a huge step. So we'll see as the day goes on if that's something that's happening. But either way, it seems like the progress is finally coming.
Chelsea Janes of the Washington Post on the Nationals. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. Let's talk some hockey. J.J. Reagan, CSN Mid-Atlantic. Preseason started last night in New Jersey. What did we learn?
We learned that when the NHL says that they're going to emphasize slashing and faceoff penalties, they weren't joking. That was a penalty-filled fiasco last night. 20 overall minor penalties, 3 faceoff violation penalties. I don't think I've ever seen that called ever, and they called it 3 times last night. That's not what we should expect in the regular season. I think they're going to tamp it down a little bit, and they just want the players to get used to it. And these are professionals. They'll adjust. But, man, oh, man, that was a little tough to watch at times last night.
JJ, just received word you've also been penalized by the NHL for commenting on the penalty. So tough break for you there. What do we take away from this? Obviously, I didn't watch a ton of it. NFL football and other things were on, but I know the Caps scored first, and it looked like New Jersey scored a million goals after. Who stood out to you? Who made a case?
Nathan Walker was the guy who stood out the most. He's battling for a spot on the fourth line. And he looked fantastic. He scored the lone goal on the night. But it wasn't just that. It was a total effort play. It was a shorthanded goal. He took the puck up himself and then passed it off and crossed into the center ice and showed some quick hands on the rebound for the goal. That's the exact kind of thing that they're looking for on that fourth line. So he looks like he'd be a good fit there. I think he really made a case for himself last night. Alex Chiasson, who's on a PTO, struggling to make get a spot on the roster. I thought he looked pretty solid, looked like he could be a dependable guy, maybe a guy who you could call out of the press box. Christian Juice is a guy who I think a lot of people have penciled in for the lineup. I was probably that way before last night, and now afterwards, I think this guy may struggle to make the roster this season. He was pushing around a little bit. I don't think he was terrible, but given his size, he's the smallest player at camp. He played just okay, and he's got to be way better than that to justify having a spot on the roster.
JJ, thank you. Good talking to you again. Looking forward to the hockey season.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. A lot of people missed the Beltway Blitz because they were out of the office going and picking up lunch. Remember that you can download the all-new radio.com app and listen to 106.7 The Fan anytime, anywhere.
Anytime, anywhere. It's easy. I've done it. It's actually pretty sweet.
Don't miss any of it. Grant and Danny on the Fan. DJ Durkin talking Maryland football at 1. Our big announcement at 12:45.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.